Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love, in all thy sons command, qu'al ton bras se porte les pays, y se porte la croix. Ton histoire est une épopée des plus brillants
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special podcast. Today's podcast is a co-production of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank and the Joe Rogan Experience. Two podcasts coming together to bring you greatness. We did this, my friend Joe Rogan and I were on a plane to Edmonton to play the River Creek Casino. And we thought, since we're flying at noon and not 6:45 in the morning for once, Joe said, hey, let's do a podcast. And I said, what? Because I wasn't paying attention. And then he said, let's do a podcast. And then I realized I heard him the first time. So I was like, oh, yeah, totally. And I had all my equipment. So we just opened it up and did one on the plane. It was not in a first-class pod like when we were going or coming back from Australia. It was more just a regular WestJet flight where people were in front of us and behind us. And they probably got a little annoyed that we were talking. But nobody said anything, so we just kept going. Since this is not an official Skeptic Tank or Joe Rogan Experience podcast, this podcast is sponsored by you, the people. So there's no advertisers for this episode. I would like to thank, one, the guy who gave me the stuff that I was on after my last storyteller show. By the way, one of those strawberry-colored ones was, I mean, multicolored Rice Krispie Treats was fucking perfect for me. And the brown ones were way stronger, and about 40% of one was enough. So thank you. Also, thank you to Katie Levine, who I guess she does sound for Nerdist Networks, and she told me about this thing called Sound Soap, which takes out ambient sound. So if anybody is a podcaster out there, try looking at Sound Soap. It's my first time using it, so I don't know. But there's this like loud sound on an airplane. So I tried taking it out. It might have made us sound too metallic. And it might not have. I don't know. Let me know. Let me know what you think. Write me at contact@arithegreat.com. And tell me. And by the way, if these in general are too loud or too soft, please let me know. Or just write. I'm always happy to hear that I did something right, even though I have no idea what I'm doing. So we went to play the River Creek Casino in Edmonton, and it was a great time. It sold out weeks and weeks, maybe months in advance. And it was awesome. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you some of Joe Rogan's dates and some of my dates. He is going to be at the Jack Singer Concert Hall on 7/20. That is July 20th. I believe I'm going to be there with him. That's a little spoiler alert of what you'll find later in this episode. The day after that, 7/21, is the first day of Shroomfest. So I'm making an unofficial call to my friends in Calgary that since I'm going to be there day one, you know, you can fill in the blanks. And then also Rogan is doing pretty much every Wednesday now at the Ice House. There's like no show there late at night. So they do a 10 o'clock show. They do a Death Squad podcast, in the podcast room with Red Band. And then we all go over, and these shows are fucking sick. I think they're $15, but we've had shows with like Doug Benson, Dom Herrera, Sam Tripoli, Diaz, Rogan, myself. It's just, they're just fucking sick lineups, you guys. And the crowds are crazy good. I mean, everyone's so into it. So come out to those. Rogan is also going to be at the Melrose Improv on August 3rd. And then in Denver, Colorado at the Paramount Theater on August 10th. Two shows. It might be a typo. Who knows? But maybe two shows. Jesus. Okay. Well, that's awesome. I am going to be... Two shows at the Paramount. Wow. We went last year and they said that they didn't think it was a good idea for us to do the Paramount because it was too big. And now they're doing two shows there in one night. God damn it. That's movement. Wow. Good job, Rogan. Good job. So I am going to be at Comics at Foxwoods June 7th, 8th, and 9th. And then, is that right? Possibly. And then I am going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. The other one's in Connecticut. At Cobb's Comedy, it's June 13th. And then right from there, June 14th through the, I think, 17th, I'm going straight to Sacramento to play the Punchline. And my next storyteller show is June 26th at the Improv. $5. It goes to charity. Probably Planned Parenthood again, but I'm not sure. So, that's it. Enjoy this podcast that you guys sponsored, everybody. Sit back, relax, let's listen to some fucking Chili Peppers, and let's start this motherfucker. But, before I do, I always forget stuff. Before I do, start this, I should say go to visit Joe Rogan's website at joerogan.net. JoeRogan.com was taken by some real estate broker in Idaho. His picture I use as my avatar for a good 5 years. Any web message board I was on. JoeRogan.net for all his dates. And go to my website, AriTheGreat.com, and you can see all of my dates. And also I put music from these episodes on here and a bunch of extra details if I can find them. I just go a little nuts. Also I have stuff for sale. I have t-shirts and I have spice grinders for the spices in your life. Alright, you guys. That's it. Enjoy the fuck out of it. Podcast on a Plane, episode, I don't know, a co-production of the Joe Rogan Experience and Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I like the spike with pain and music is my aeroplane. Is my aeroplane. Sulfur, sweet and sour chain and music is my aeroplane. Is my aeroplane. Pleasure spiked with pain. It can pick up on the specific sound, and then like say I want that out, and then it'll try to find it throughout.
What's it called?
I don't know. I haven't.
Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording now. So let's give it 3 seconds of silence now.
Okay, ready? We're extra generous. We gave you 4 seconds. Four.
Good, nice. All right, let's see if it'll work. That'll be awesome.
Right, if it does. Let's see if it works. So, is this your podcast or my podcast?
This is yours.
Let's do a joint production, man. Let's do a podcast on a plane is always a joint production.
Yeah, right? There you go.
Here we go. It's the podcast on a plane.
A joint production.
Yeah, let's do that from now on. Podcast on a plane will always be joint productions. Wow. That way we'll
just pop it on both sides.
Yeah, this will be the way to unite all podcasts together.
We did one of those on with Reba and Heffron. We were just like, let's just both record them, and you release it on your thing, and I'll release it on my thing.
I think,
and we'll both get more fans.
Yeah, I think it might work that way.
Yeah,
you know, it might be possible.
Yeah, you want to talk about Alpha Brain?
No, no. Let's do this one with no sponsors too.
Let's get the sponsors.
This is a different podcast. This is podcast on a plane.
This is sponsored by that dude who gave me that Rice Krispies brownie.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh. How about that? I don't even know what you're speaking of, son.
Dude, I am really
obliterated.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Which is the best way to fly?
Yeah. It's so much the best way to fly.
Totally.
It makes everything better. We got to do a conversation with that lady.
Makes it a deep experience.
Yeah.
It makes it like a learning journey. You go deep into your soul. I have like some of my most intense personal revelations on cookies planes? On planes.
Really? Well, you look out the window?
Yeah, just thinking. Just sitting alone, thinking about your life, thinking about, you know, the way, the really good things that you're enjoying, the things that you wish you didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, it's an amazing time, like, you know, time experience.
Yeah.
You know, you're strapped into a seat. You're not going anywhere. You're, like, forced to just relax. And you could think of some crazy shit in a fucking plane when you're hopped up on a cookie.
I'm actually making myself fly later now.
Yeah.
So I don't have to just sleep. If I fly at 1 or 2 p.m., then actually,
yeah,
I use that time to actually write or actually, like you said, like, think about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, man. You know, getting sleep, like, I like to get home as early as possible.
But sometimes, too, but I'm like,
sometimes getting sleep is more important.
Yeah. Wake up at a normal hour.
Yeah. I used to always do that. I used to always come home.
Like, Sunday's always ruined anyway.
Yeah.
I have to wake up at 7 or 6 or something and then go to the airport there and then get home at like 2 p.m. It's like, ugh.
The day's wrecked. I don't know what the fuck it is about traveling that just makes you physically wrecked.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what it was. I don't think it's good, whatever it is.
But brownies make it a lot better.
Brownies make it way better.
I took one at the UFC. This last UFC. And I was in line, and I had to tell myself, like, it was so hard that I was like, dude, you're gonna pass out. So just sort of accept that. But I'm like, all that's gonna happen is you're gonna wake up in about 15 or 20 seconds, and you're gonna be a little embarrassed, and you're just gonna walk away, and no one will remember it, right? It's not that big a deal, so just be cool. And I got to the front of the line, was able to put my hand on, like, the counter, so I didn't pass out.
Wow.
But, it's like, fine. It's fine. It's like, no big deal. It's never, even at its worst,
wow,
it's not that big a deal. Oh, it makes things so much more fun.
It's amazing how potent those things can be.
Yeah.
We didn't take a big portion at all. At least I didn't.
No.
I mean, it was not much at all.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, it's ridiculous. Like,
it hit you
this
a lot
is
faster than me.
Yeah, I felt it immediately. I was right away, I was like, this is going to be a big one. It's like sometimes when a tide pulls way back right before a tsunami hits,
yeah,
you know you're fucked. That's what it felt like. I was sitting in my seat and I was like, dude, I feel this shit in my toes. That's what I said to you. It's an amazing thing. The timing, it's like an hour and 20 minutes after taking it is when it really begins to take off.
I like to take it right when I'm parking at the airport shuttle.
That's the right way to do it. Never bring it on the plane with you.
Yeah.
Eat it before you get there.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this crazy journey to get through security before it kicks in.
I end up having to set my alarms because I get so paranoid that I'm going to miss it. I'm like, set my alarm for when the check-in is going to be so it'll remind me in case I wander off.
You know what really pisses me off, man?
What?
That anybody would want to stop you from doing this. That anyone would want to stop you from doing something that's not negative at all. But I feel guilty talking about it. I feel guilty talking about it like I'm doing something, you know, forbidden or naughty or wrong. But there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with this experience. And that, as I said, like, it's like really deeply introspective. It always makes me think about, you know, like, give me an assessment of my life. I think it's very healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So it pisses me off that anybody would ever try to stop you from doing this. It's really annoying. It's like, it's so archaic.
Yeah. Plus, or even if you're not doing any of that, even if you're just watching some movie on it.
Yeah.
I was watching that South Park documentary. Did you ever end up watching that?
Yes.
It was so good, right?
Amazing. Incredible. Inspiring. Humbling. Makes you feel like a fucking lazy
NASA
bitch.
Going to that award show in that dress.
Dress.
I was like, this is the best thing. And you see Trey just look off for a moment, that blink of like, and he's like, oh, he's gone. Now he's back.
Wow. They're crazy. I'm so happy that guys like that exist.
Yeah, they just do what they want.
You know? I just think if guys like that just show you that if you're just, like, really creative and work really hard, like, you can pull it off.
That's possible.
Know? Yeah, that is
do what you want.
Attainable. Like, look where that guy is. I mean, those guys made an empire of one of the funniest shows of all time. South Park's one of the funniest, like, altogether funny.
Yeah.
Like, they had some of the funniest moments in the history of television, in my opinion.
And they also have dolls.
Yeah.
That they can sell.
Dude. That slut off that they did. Remember when the gay teacher stuffed Paris Hilton up his ass?
Yeah.
My God, that was funny. My God, that was funny. And that was on regular Comedy Central, man.
Oh, yeah.
I remember
all the little girls
screaming.
Were trying to be the biggest
I was screaming at the TV. It was so funny. Those guys are the funniest of all time, I think.
And that's a slave.
Just to know that they exist gives you hope. It's like, you know, like that can be done. Look what can be done.
Yeah. Well, how do they do that? They're just so successful that they're like, okay, we get to do what we want, though.
Yeah. Well,
you're making new money.
They can't screw it up. I think if they just left them alone, you know, they would. You know, the reality is, they're cable, so they're not FCC regulated.
Yeah,
so they literally could have.
How are they not FCC regulated?
Because they're not broadcast through the airwaves. It's cable. It's a cable thing.
Oh.
It's either satellite or cable. And so because of that, because of, you know, what's called basic cable, like even if you have satellite, you know, they call it like basic cable, the basic cable channels. And those channels are not broadcast through the air, so they're not regulated.
Really? But it's like Warner and stuff.
They're not regulated. You're regulated entirely based on advertisers. Only network shows are regulated by the FTC.
And if enough people watch, they'll just say, okay, people are watching, so advertisers will keep coming.
What is it, the Federal Communications? What is the actual...
Federal...
What do they call themselves?
I don't know.
So silly. Whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Whoever regulates it. That's how they regulate it.
So they're allowed to do whatever they want?
They can do whatever they want.
Wow.
Of course. They can do anything. They have advertisers.
So
well, that's how the Shield got away with so much. You know, the Shield, they said like asshole and bullshit and suck my dick. They would say some crazy shit.
Why did that stick out? Oh, that show was so
good. That was a great show. I love that that Southern dude who's always doing dirty shit.
Yeah.
The cop, the skinny guy.
Yeah, he's in another show. Now. I grew up watch that.
No, what is the other show?
It's like a sheriff in Australia or something.
No, I've never seen that one.
It's on FX.
He's a good actor, though.
Yeah.
That guy's good.
Shane? Is that his name, Shane?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great show, man.
Yeah.
Have you gotten into Game of Thrones?
No, but I heard that's what I got to do next. You just did?
God damn. I went through the whole first season. And, like, we went through it in, like, a couple of weeks.
How many seasons are there?
There's two seasons. They're on the second season right now. But we ate through the whole first season so quick. It's good, dude.
Really?
It's good.
Really, it's wizards and dragons.
Oh, my God. I don't want to tell you shit.
Okay.
I don't want to give away nothing. But it's, like, better than The Hobbit, and it's a movie.
I saw somebody tweet.
I mean, and it's a show, rather. It's a series.
Tweet. Better than The Hobbit?
Better than The Hobbit, and it's a series. It's a series. It's better written. You're more engaged
in the
characters.
Better written than Lord of the Rings.
I'm telling you.
It's better written than Lord of the Rings.
Better than the movies. Not than the J.R.R. Tolkien stuff. I don't know how well written the Fire and Ice book was. That was, you know, Songs of Fire and Ice, which was what this is all based on. I don't know what that was written like. Apparently some of it was different, but this adaptation, this version of it that they did, is fucking incredible, man. It is a great show. I mean, the acting...
How many years in are they?
This is the second season. There's a one guy, his name is Peter Dinklage, I think is his name. He's the guy, the little guy. That guy is a bad motherfucker.
I heard a tweet about this. So like, you know, Game of Thrones is huge. When MCA died and the cover of Rolling Stone was like, no, stay with the Peter Dinklage cover.
Yeah, it's true. Dude, he's a bad motherfucker, dude. The guy's the best actor on the show. He steals the show.
How did that guy make a living? Do you think when he went to acting, all his friends were like, dude, what are you doing? There's no way.
Especially that he was going to try to have like a serious role.
Regular.
Dude, he's a bad motherfucker. I'm really impressed with that guy's acting. He's really good. The show is so good, man. It's so well written. It's got so much crazy shit in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got like, you'll go like episode after episode with no sorcery, no magic, and you're like, wow, well, what is this show? Like, this show is like, it's like a complicated character study of people living in this strange time, and then all of a sudden some magic will bust out, some crazy shit will happen. I mean, it is a goddamn amazing show.
Yeah. I gotta get into it.
It's a guy.
People been talking about like everyone just discovered it this year.
Yeah,
and they've been like, "What?"
It's a word of mouth thing, man. It's a word of mouth. I had
HBO.
I had so many people telling me you had to go. You gotta watch this. You gotta watch this. It wasn't like kind of like, hey man, the show's pretty good. Like people told me about that. What is the Modern Family? Is that like a big sitcom?
Yeah.
People telling me like, hey, but they're never like super exuberant about it. Like, it's pretty funny. I like that show.
Yeah.
I like that show, you know, but not this.
Game of Thrones.
When they come to you, they go, dude.
Like The Wire was.
Yeah, you gotta watch this fucking show. You gotta watch this show.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they can keep this up. It looks like it costs $1 billion to make.
Really? It looks that good?
It looks like it's amazing. Dude, they have... I don't want to tell you what they have.
I'll watch. I'll download
it. It's madness.
I'm just about ready to give up on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, they're having sword fights.
What?
They're cutting people in half with swords. People are getting killed by wolves. I mean, this is a wild-ass show.
Oh, that's exactly what I love.
This is a wild-ass show.
Man, they always do it right, HBO.
Dude, they do it right. This is a fascinating world. Complete fantasy world where the winter lasts for, like, 9 years and the summer lasts for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
And they're preparing for the winter. And, like, some people don't survive in this world during the winter. It's like, it doesn't even make any sense. But you don't give a fuck. It's like all the rules are out the window. How's the winter 9 years long? It's shut up, bitch. You just suck it. It is what it is, you know? They don't explain.
Yeah.
They don't ever explain.
Schedule is. Yeah. We got...
How the fuck is the summer 10 years long? No one explains anything.
They just know it is.
Yeah. But they worry about...
That's what I hate when they do that in movies, when they're like, why are you explaining something that everyone would know?
Yeah.
Everyone would know this.
In the movie, So why would you ever explain that? They don't even bother with it in this show. They don't you just deal with the fact that summer's 9 years long. And people get soft in the summer, and they forget, and they tell them, children, you've never seen the winter. You've never been here during the winter. And they have these things that live in the fucking mountains. They built a wall to keep them out.
Oh.
And these fucking
and
things.
And they only come in the winter?
They come and they sacrifice their... I don't even want to tell you.
Oh.
I don't want to tell you anything.
All right.
Fucking show's amazing, man. It's so many layers to it.
Yeah.
There's so many subplots going on all at once. Every week, you're like, fuck, it's over. Every time it's over, it's like, shit. It's so good. Every time it's over, I'm like, god damn, this is a good show.
Yeah.
Every now and then, there's like The Sopranos.
Yeah.
When The Sopranos was in its prime.
Yeah, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, every time it came out, I was like, wow, that's a show, man. That's a damn show.
Yeah. Yeah. At some points, it was like, ah, whatever. Some seasons, they weren't in it.
Yeah.
But the best, they were like, wow. They were betrayed at every turn.
Yeah.
People still mistake Joey for that guy.
What's that?
People still mistake Joey for that guy.
Yeah, for Big Pussy. I know, it's hilarious. Joey has that glow about him. He's like got this like exuberant confidence. There's something about him, but you just think this guy's gotta be famous. Even before he was ever famous.
Yeah.
You know, and then when he got on The Longest Yard, then people started recognizing him from that movie. And he did some Best Damn Sports Show stuff. I think they recognized him from that too, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, internet stuff. But once the real thing with Joey was the podcast.
Yeah.
When the podcast kicked in and people got to hear the real Joey, I mean, come on. The dude has, we're going to make a second t-shirt.
It was always a no-brainer with him. It was like, just once people know about him, it's over. But
yeah, it's over.
How do we get people to know about him?
Dude, I had a fight to get that guy into places.
Yeah, what happened with the Man Show?
Oh, that was brutal. Doug and I, we wanted Joey to introduce us. We wanted Joey to burst out naked. There's a video of Joey when I was younger, and I first started working at the improvs. I was embarrassed that they had this giant picture of my face. I was like, this is so stupid. Like, they have these giant posters of you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, we got to do something with this. So I put the poster in front of a door, and Joey takes his clothes off, goes behind the poster, and comes bursting through the poster, and then he screams out, let's get this party started. And then that song Jungle Boogie starts playing, and Joey starts dancing, and he's naked, and his balls are just preposterous. They're so unbelievably big. He's just ridiculous. He's smiling, and he's wearing Timberland boots. He's got Timberland boots on and a baseball hat. I don't know, man. I've been in Joey's corner. It's somewhere online. I have it. I have it on my computer somewhere. I've been in Joey's corner since, I don't know, man, the 90s.
You wanted to do that for the opening of the Man Show?
Yeah, and they fought for it. I said I want him to be naked and just run out and introduce us. And they go, what? What about that says Man Show to you? That was what she said. I was like, it's going to be funny. She goes, how is that funny? She was crying. How is that funny? This is an executive. How is that funny?
I don't know how to tell you.
It's funny. I go, it's just funny. It's Joey Diaz. It's funny. I got an opportunity to have one of the funniest guys in the world introduce every one of these episodes. You should have to prove
that that's not funny.
Yeah. So this is what we did. We had two intros. We had
one with him and one without.
The first one we did without him.
Yeah.
And it was nice. Nice big round of applause. Second one we did with it. And they went fucking apeshit. People stood up in the stands. Look, Joey is buck naked on stage.
Smiling.
Going, let's get this party started. And he's dancing.
It's such a shock.
Yeah, and he's interested. Please
casual,
welcome.
Casual male
Joe
nudity.
Doug, stand up. And we run out, and we're howling, and Doug and I high five. It's the ultimate opening. It's the ultimate opening. It's the greatest opening ever. It would have been the greatest opening ever. We should have. That show was like 10 years before its time. Because if we did that show in like 2013 or 2014,
yeah,
and we did it entirely on the internet, it could still exist. It could be a funny show. If we figured out a way to get paid for doing it, or, you know, pay for the actors and pay for people, writers and things along those lines. We had a lot of great ideas. They just never let us do them.
They never let you go nuts.
They never let us do what we were supposed to do.
I remember you telling me that. You're like, they're not letting us do religious stuff.
They completely lied to us about how the whole process was going to work to get me to do it. They just wanted to sign me on, and if they signed me on, they figured that Comedy Central would give them a good deal, and so they kind of bullshitted me. So the producers, they're basic. This is the exact wording. Swear and we'll bleep it out. Show some nudity, we'll blur it out.
Like,
just go nuts.
Told you whatever.
They literally told me that it would be good if we got sued.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, this is perfect. Doug and I are in. Let's go. Let's go. We're going to go crazy. This is going to be fun. We're going to go nuts, man. But as soon as we got in, well, I said that's the only way I would do it.
It has to be stand-up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, they had a list of guys, and I'm like, there's one guy. There's only one guy on your list. I go, it's Doug stand-up. They go, yeah. I go, yeah. I go, you got an all-time great comedian in your lineup.
And that has chemistry with each other.
And I love him.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great guy. So just the times hanging out with Doug and just chilling with him and just, you know.
That sounds like that'd be a perfect scenario.
Yeah. We could have had the best time ever. There was two fuck-ups there. One of them was a big one on my part, was that I thought that I could do two TV shows at the same time. You really can't. You can't, man. Yeah, you can't.
Well, it's just too much time.
It's way too much time. You can't do it. You can't do two TV. And I'm not willing to not do stand-up, so I had to do that too. So I was doing two TV shows, and I was doing stand-up. It's too hard, man. You can go crazy. You can go crazy when you do too much work.
Like you would.
Yeah, you go crazy.
When you're doing stand-up at all, it's not just the hour you go up on stage. It's the before and after you're thinking about it.
It's super unhealthy.
You're not thinking about writing this other show, that you're not working on this other show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super unhealthy to burn the candle at both ends, you know?
Yeah.
So we got fucked. We thought we were going to be able to do something.
They pulled back the reins.
Yeah, they took, well, especially when Janet Jackson, the nipple controversy. Oh, my God. They came in. It was amazing. Like, it was almost like a joke.
For comedy.
They came in, and they were like, we had a whole, a couple different monologues that got completely scrapped because they said we couldn't talk about that anymore. We couldn't make, you know, we couldn't make abortion jokes anymore. We couldn't discuss it in a monologue, you know.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, it was just weak, man.
And you're like, oh, this has nothing to do with us.
You know, if you're going to hire someone to do a show, the real problem, man, is the only way to get a real artistic voice out, your real voice, is you have to do it yourself. You know, you can get help. You can get help, like, sort of the way the podcast gets help. Like, we all have help. We help each other. Like, this conversation couldn't take place with just one of us. You know, we help each other. We go on each other's shows.
What
we were just talking about
that. In the back of someone's head like that the whole time.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
It'd be super rude.
Yeah, that would be rude as fuck. Yeah.
What were we just talking about?
That's how stoned you are, son.
Yeah.
I'll give you three guesses.
Okay. Right before we couldn't do this other podcast, it was, the man show.
Man show.
Okay.
Couldn't get past the censors.
Yeah. The Nipplegate stuff.
Nipplegate.
Oh, yeah. They came down on everybody then.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And Howard Stern, they came down on. They came down on everybody.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. And Kevin Booth actually had a really funny line.
Yeah.
Where he was saying, you know, that they were upset that it was during the dinner hour. And he said, isn't that like the first meal? Like, yeah, that's the baby's first meal is a nipple. Yeah. And just you're showing that during the dinner hour, and somehow or another that's offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is that offensive?
That's funny.
Hey, what is the big deal?
Like someone's breastfeeding right now.
It is true. I mean, it's the baby's first meal. It's like, what is a big deal about a nipple? I mean, is it really so crazy?
You can't ignore the fact that there is something about it.
I know, but it's really weird.
I know.
It's weird that it's so crazy that if you just show one part, you could show everything but the nipple, and you could have a cup on it. Or how about this weird loophole where girls are allowed to paint themselves?
Everything but the areola. Oh, yeah, the paint totally works.
Yeah, totally naked, but painted.
Yeah.
And they don't feel naked.
Yeah. I've seen girls like that. It looks like they're covered. It's weird.
I don't remember where I was, but there was some party where some girl, it was like some sort of a costume party, and some girls had done that. They'd gotten their tits painted. I'm like, that is the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. You're naked.
Yeah.
I don't care what... You're naked.
Yeah.
You can't have paint clothes.
I saw it in Toronto last month.
You need real clothes.
Yeah.
You can't just... How is she walking around like topless? Not that I'm a hater. Not that I'm trying to stop anybody from being topless. But that is what that is.
It's like, that's those are naked boobs.
Those are tits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know what that is.
It's just like, what a weird loophole to be a slut.
I'm just painting it up, but
have fun, I guess.
The tightest clothing possible.
I'm not discouraging it. I mean, I sound like such a hater. It should totally be legal. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's weird. It's hypocritical of our crazy society that a guy can walk around with his nipples out, but a girl can't.
You think it's a fetish for watching a girl wash off the paint?
Of course. Of course. There's probably a whole website dedicated to
like, of
spanking
course,
it.
Of course
to,
there is.
Of course. People are so...
I mean, thousands of men that are linked together on this one site.
People are so twisted. They really are. They're so gross.
Do you think they're ever going to regulate the internet?
I think they're trying. They're trying to slowly clamp down. They're going to make certain things slowly illegal. You know, they're going to have to... figure out a way to show that
becoming like the only video source almost, and they don't allow like nudity or anything.
Well, the real issue is they can't control anything that gets on the internet, you know, and they would like to be able to control things. So that's why they have to pass things like the, you know, all these different acts that allow them to come in and stop websites and SOPA and all these different ones that people are constantly protesting.
Yeah.
They want to be able to, if something really goes wrong, to be able to disseminate information. And they can't figure out a way how to stop it through the internet entirely without just totally locking down the internet. So they reserve the right to lock down the internet. They don't actually do it.
No, just to shut it off.
To lock down, to be able to, they could definitely shut it off. I mean, that's what happened in Egypt.
Every site except one or two.
They just can lock off the internet, period. They can just cut off people's access to the internet.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, don't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's not likely to happen, but in times of an emergency, that is what the government would do. And if you want to go all crazy Alex Jones, deep in the heart of Texas, you got, look how far Texas down is. Jesus Christ. No wonder why it's hot as fuck down there.
Yeah, it's way further south than California.
Texas is way down. I wonder if that's
below
right.
The tip of Florida.
It is way below California. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks dark as fuck down there. That's hot, man. Yeah. Texas in the summer gets really hot.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to go all Alex Jones on you, I would say, well, you know, the government would create a reason to cause martial law so they would come in and shut down the internet because they were losing control.
That's when the chemtrails turn real.
Yeah. That's if you want to go Alex Jones, I have the documents. I can't do Alex Jones unless I'm yelling. Alex Jones impression. It's only good if I'm yelling.
Dude, that pool impression you did was hilarious, too. Those pool guys watching you do that impression.
Oh, Earl Strickland.
I was watching two professional pool players watch you and laugh as you're doing an impression of another professional pool player.
Yeah, that's a deep inside joke, man.
They were loving it.
Yeah, there's a guy named Earl Strickland who's one of the greatest pool players in the whole, like, the history of pool. And the reason why I can do this guy's accent so well, I could do an imitation of him, I'm a huge fan of this guy. He's an amazing pool player. Like, I got a chance to, we Ari and I got a chance to see him play live.
Man, he talks so much trash.
Oh, he talks so much trash. He's awesome. He's a real American original, and I can do an impression of him. He was a great sport about it, though. Like, he didn't get upset at me at all. He was super happy to meet me and really friendly. It was great. It was
those
awesome.
Those guys were loving it. Those guys were like crying, looking at you. They're in the middle of a match playing for a bunch of cash against each other. And they were stopped in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Close. I think it was like,
really close.
Really tied up at that point. Is it 23-22?
Real close.
Something like
that. Yeah, 23-22. It wasn't that late.
It was like 15-13.
Yeah, 15-13, yeah. Yeah, it was like 25 games in, very close. Yeah,
they were just sitting there laughing, blowing off steam.
He had some good Earl stories, too. Johnny Archer did.
Yeah.
How cool is that? And there's no other sport where you could hang out with, like, an all-time great like Johnny Archer. Just hang out behind an office building in Vegas. And you're
it's
laughing,
weird
telling
thing.
Cool
it's
stories.
A weird office building.
Yeah.
It was kind of rad.
Yeah.
There's, like, 12 people watching.
Dude, how cool is watching those guys, the best players in the world, play like inches in front of your face?
Yeah.
Man, it's no other game where you could do, there's no golf game where you could ever be in a private room. Well, I should explain to people what was going on. There's a thing called the Action Report. If you go to theactionreport.com, it's my friend Justin, he runs this website, and what it is they set up these challenge matches for the best pool players in the world. And, you know, they would, like, put up, like, a $10,000 entry fee, and they would play for it all. You know, it's like a two-man tournament,
like
essentially.
It's like the days of boxing when they're like, well, I bet that guy could beat that guy. So, well, let's get them together.
Yep, exactly. And they play long races. They play three races to 25. So that means the first guy to win 25 games wins a set, and then they come back tomorrow. And if they win two sets in a row, they win two out of three, which means they take all the money down. And they have people that come in and wager on it. There's people that wager online about it.
Really?
Yeah,
and they watch live online.
Yeah. And, you know, and people in other countries watch it. You know, and in the pool world, it's like a big shot in the arm for them. You know, it's like these guys had to sit around and wait in between tournaments. But now, like, things come up like the Action Report where they'll actually stream live matches. And it's getting people kind of excited about pool again.
You think they'll turn those people into stars so they can actually make a pool tour, like, viable?
If the website keeps building and the online pool presence keeps building and people like me who like watch it online. Yeah. I love watching people play on, like, really tough equipment. Like, these guys are playing on these little tiny pockets.
Yeah.
And it's quiet as a church in there.
It is quiet.
Really fucking cool. You know, and
you go
the way
take a soda from the tub and you're just like, don't move,
yeah,
just laying up,
yeah.
Don't move.
It's like you're feet away from, you're really, there's no way you should be able to be that close to them in real life.
No.
You know, in real, I mean, it's such a rare situation. So you feel so scared of doing anything to screw up.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be 10 feet from Johnny Archer while he's playing. You should be up in the stands, away from him, you know. So it's such a rare opportunity when you're that close. It's like, it makes you play better, doesn't it? Don't you feel like you left that and then you went and played better?
Oh, when I went and played? Yeah, watching them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You absorb their pool game.
Yeah. This book I'm reading, that book, Quiet, it says that people actually perform when they're performing under pressure, notably perform worse.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Everybody, even at home, they said there was some school that had some measles outbreak, so they had to quarantine, and they had to play their home games in front of no crowd. And they said in those 13 home games they played in front of no one, they performed way better than their averages in the games where they actually had fans there rooting for them.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's performance anxiety.
No, it makes sense, man. You know,
yeah.
There's a lot on the line. There's a lot of extra adrenaline things to manage. It's very hard for people to keep it together. That's why a lot of fighters like to sleep during the day of a fight. They like to lie down in the
really?
Dressing room
why?
And sleep. They try to lower their heart rate, try to relax, try to just be as calm as possible, try to chill out.
Yeah.
The more calm you get when you're in there, the more you can sort of perform.
I used to white out when I did jiu-jitsu in the beginning. I used to white out. People would just have me just behind the head, you know, nothing, like no move even.
Right.
You know, and I just start to white out. I have to like tap.
Oh, you like panic?
Yeah, I would just panic. And I was like, people are like, why'd you tap? I'm like, I don't know, man. If someone would be on top of me,
right.
I would start to panic and white out. And then I learned how to breathe, and it was like, oh, okay. But it was just heart rate.
Yeah, it's heart rate, and it's also you learn how to defend.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know what to do. Like, there's a whole process to go through to defend.
Yeah.
You know, you might not be successful with that process, but you're not lost. When you're lost and you're just sort of winging it, that's scary.
That's panic. Yeah. Like, I don't know what's happening here.
Now, that's what jiu-jitsu is all about, really. Yeah. It's people trying to defend the attack, and they don't know what to do, and they give up positions and get choked out or get tapped out.
Man, it's fun, though.
It's really fun.
God.
I enjoy it, but it's very hard on the body, man.
Yeah. It's awesome, though, just running around, try to, like, choke people.
I had to take, I took almost 4 months off.
Really?
Yeah, three plus months of no
jiu-jitsu. For your baby?
No, I popped something in my back and started getting numbness in my hands. And my friend? Sir, is this yours? You're welcome. I pulled something, and it was...
You pulled something on your back?
Yeah, pull something that connects. Oh, so I think it's called the levator scapula, where it connects to the spine. And yeah. I had... it was really bad swelling and aching, and my nerves were swelling. Like, it was pressure on the nerves, so I'd get, like, pain in my arm, pain throughout my nerves. It was really a bitch, man.
Really?
It lasted a while. Lasted for a whole month and a half plus, like that, where it was like every day it was like my hand was numb and my elbow would hurt.
Really?
Yeah, the ulnar nerve pain. But I had to get rehab. I did a lot of, they have a thing called cold laser. That's like an anti-inflammatory laser that they put on you, an ultrasound and deep tissue massage. And eventually it relaxed and calmed down. But it's like when you get a tear in that area, what happened is I meat-headed myself. I hurt my back a little bit, and I said, I'm not going to be a pussy. I'll just keep rolling.
You meat-headed yourself?
I meat-headed myself because I completely jacked it. I was like saying, don't be a pussy, you know, just because talk you feel injured. Get back in there.
Thank you.
So when I did that, I completely fucked myself. I tore it bad.
Oh, man.
And then I was in like some serious agony. I did it a couple of times. I had a recurring injury over like a period of like maybe three times over a period of 6 months. So then I realized, okay, I gotta stop.
Did you just rest it, or did you just do anything to it?
I just had a rest.
Okay.
Just rest and, like I said, all the rehab stuff. It's just a muscle tear. That's what it is. But the problem is, when you don't give it a chance to heal, you know, jiu-jitsu is just so goddamn brutal. When you injure something, realistically, this is what happens. A muscle tear, when you injure it, takes 3 months to be 100% after that tear. So that's realistically. But how long do you take before you start working out again? Well, usually it's not 3 months. Usually it's less than 3 months, and you're really not 100% yet.
Yeah.
So you go in, and then you wind up injuring it again. And that's what I've done. I've done that a couple of times. That's what's called meat-headed-ing. I meat-headed myself. You got to know when you're injured, you know? Sometimes it's just sore, like muscle soreness is no big deal. But you got to know, like, things that are injuries. And that's, you know, it's part of, like, there's a fine dance between mental toughness and being an idiot.
Yeah.
Mental toughness and breaking your body.
Bro.
Yeah.
I can deal with this. Why? Because you said?
Yeah.
Why? Why would you be the guy that can deal with it?
Yeah, there's certain aspects of your body that you got to listen to. There's certain aspects of, injuries. If you keep going and you try to work through the injury, you're going to really mess yourself up. Like, I know guys have done that with their knees. They elected to not have surgery and just to try to like strengthen the muscles to keep the knee stabilized, and then they rip it apart. And just the inside just gets chewed to shit because there's no stability there. You have to have, like, there has to be an actual ligament that connects, like an ACL blowout. Yeah. It has to be a ligament that connects the two joints together.
Otherwise what happens?
It's all wiggly.
It's all what?
It's all wiggly. It doesn't like support you when you stand on it. If you try to move left or right, it's going to buckle and give out.
And
that's what happens.
Blew that?
Yeah, I did that. Both of them. Both my knees.
Isn't one of your knees like way better than the other because you went 10 years in between and the technology was better?
Well, it's also because I didn't have any meniscus damage. In my right knee, there was no meniscus damage.
Yeah.
So it was just replacing the ligament, and then it was 100%. The left knee, there was a significant amount of ligament damage and a significant amount of cartilage and meniscus damage. So they had to take some stuff out of this knee. So this knee... if you comparatively, it's not as good as this knee, but it's still awesome. I kick the bag with this knee, like full blast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any problems in jiu-jitsu. I triangle people with this leg. Like, it's not, it might be slightly uncomfortable, but it's not injured.
Yeah.
It's just every now and then it's annoying, and not even all the time. So it's not a major issue. It's nothing worth me getting put under the knife for. But I've had two surgeries on that knee. I had an ACL surgery.
And you keep going?
Yeah. ACL surgery, that was from Taekwondo. And then there was a meniscus surgery from Jiu-Jitsu.
How come you don't limp?
How come what?
How come you don't limp?
It doesn't hurt at all.
Wow.
I mean, it doesn't really hurt when I walk. I mean, yeah. And you got to stay in shape, and you got to take vitamins. I mean, it's really simple. You have to make sure you're giving your joints
surgeries.
Lubrication. Yeah. But their surgeries where they can fix it, and it's relatively close to 100% once it's done. My right knee is 100%. Right knee has no problem at all. Dr. Gettleman, same guy that did you. He's awesome.
My other knee now.
Yeah, he's the best.
I haven't missed his tear this time.
He's a really cool guy, too. I like the guy. I like him.
He was like, hey, dude, I saw you in a commercial, right? I was like, yeah. I go.
Yeah, he's young. He's cool. He's like, he's a fun guy to talk to. But, yeah, he did both my meniscus on my left knee, and he reconstructed my ACL on my right knee. My right knee is way better than my left knee. My left knee, they did with this old-fashioned method called a patella tendon graft. Where they take your own ligament. They take a big chunk out of the front piece.
Yeah.
And they take a chunk out of your kneecap and a chunk out of your shin. And then they sort of build a fake ligament, and then they screw it in place. I mean, it works pretty good. Don't get me wrong.
For a little bit, and he was looking at the MRI, and it goes, like, through, like, it shows you, like, 3D, like almost a trip through your knee.
Yeah.
You know, front, back, top, bottom.
Yeah.
Just, like, three-dimensional. It's awesome. And he goes, I can show you here where it's a tear there, and this is actually a full tear, and you need to take this off because of this. And I was like, dude, how great is it to have this stuff? And he's like, oh, it's so sweet. I'm like, amazing. Did you learn any of this in medical school? Like, no, they had the idea of the MRI.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So what do they do? They have to take training and learn?
Learn the new stuff. Otherwise, you fall behind.
Amazing. It's not even exact still. Even then, they miss things, right?
Yeah, my first one they missed.
Meniscus. Meniscus is painful.
Yeah.
That's way more painful than the ligament. It's easier to fix, though. Six weeks later, you're 100%.
It wasn't fully torn. This one's fully torn, but this one doesn't hurt nearly as bad.
That's weird.
Yeah. The other one buckled all the time.
Yeah, man. You gotta take fish oil, dude. That'll strengthen your joints.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference, man. And it relieves... I notice a big difference between when I'm taking it, when I'm not taking it, as far as, like, joint pain.
What does it do for your farts?
Jiu-jitsu, like, a lot of time for farts, it'll wreck you.
It'll wreck you, really?
Might wreck you. No, it's normal. You know, I don't know. It's pretty pure stuff, the stuff I get.
Yeah.
I get a company called Carlson's, but there's a lot of, like, companies that have, like, you know, really pure, strained.
What do they make cut sure with it in other places?
What's that?
They cut it other places?
No, it's not that they cut it. It's that they, you know, that sometimes animals can come from polluted waters.
Oh.
And they can find they have mercury in them.
Oh.
You know, so they have to make sure that there's no mercury and it's pre-filtered and all that jazz. So Carlson's is a really good one. But I notice a big difference when I'm taking it as far as, like, joint pain. From jiu-jitsu, like, my elbows are always sore. From kettlebells and jiu-jitsu, but when I take fish oil, it's much more manageable. Big difference.
You take a lot of pills, huh?
Yeah, over the course of a day. But I also eat a lot of, like, really healthy food, too. Like, I had a big-ass giant salad at Wolfgang Puck's, you know, and I take vitamins with that. I slipped on it for a while where I wasn't being as consistent, and I really noticed a difference in how I was feeling. And then when I started getting into nootropics and started taking Alpha Brain, then I really started ramping up my my supplement taking. I was like, I needed to get
more.
No, not more. Just very consistent. Like, sometimes I'd go out to dinner and I wouldn't bother bringing. I have, like, these packets, like, different companies make them. I think that Pure is the name of it, something like that. And it's like it's all your essentials. It's got fish oil and it's got everything. And you can just take them and you put the little packets in your gym bag. You know, your travel bag. So then you have no excuse. You're eating a meal. There's one right there. Open it up. Boom. Extra nutrients. And, you know, you take it with your salad or whatever the hell else you're eating. And it makes a difference for me. I feel I have more pep, you know. I just think we don't get enough nutrients, man. I really don't think the average person, especially us when we travel. When we travel, we have a real problem with managing your diet.
Food, yeah. I have to make a choice to go to Whole Foods when I'm back, whenever I'm home.
Yeah.
Like every day.
Do you go to the buffet there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Good food.
Yeah, it's delicious.
You know what else is good there? That little salad.
Kale good.
They have like kale salad.
Yeah, all those different ones.
Oh, man.
You have to find a good one. Some of them aren't better than other ones.
Yeah.
The one in West Hollywood is awesome. And everybody there is trying to keep it together. All the girls there are like, whatever age they are, they're the best of their age.
Yeah.
The 45-year-olds are like still looking pretty good. In their yoga pants and stuff.
Yeah, they're keeping it together with nutrition.
Yeah, 30-year-olds, it's all people trying.
Keeping it together.
Yeah, I love those salad bars. They make it good. When you're stoned, it's so good.
Yeah.
You get like 1,000 different flavors.
Yeah.
I go over and steal these bell peppers from the Olive Garden bar.
You steal them?
Well, they're like separate pricely weighed out. I'm like, I don't want the other container. So I just take those and put them in there.
Wow.
Yeah, I outlaw.
That's gangster.
I just go straight outlaw it.
That's pretty gangster, dude.
I've been warned, too.
You've been warned?
One time. Like, actually, sir, just so you know, for the next time, you should know that. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, man. You got shut down?
So now my adrenaline goes up every time I do it.
Oh, that's funny. You're worried about getting caught again. And now you're going to release this to the podcast, and someone's going to be looking out for you.
Hopefully.
They're going to know, I can bust this guy.
Just look the other way, bro.
He's going to bust that pepper move.
It's just 4 flower peppers.
It's that pepper move that he talked about on the podcast. What kind of an asshole charges extra for flower peppers?
Yeah, come on, man. Let me just put this in my salad.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Put it in the container.
Yeah, why do you charge extra for that?
They have good stuff.
Haven't you done enough damage?
Wait, Tate, hold on. Tate told me about that paleo diet. He's really into that.
Wow.
Of not eating any grains, any quinoa or couscous.
No grains.
He's
He's
like, nope.
Kind of makes sense if you think about it. Like, what is the body designed to process?
Yeah.
You know, well, what did we process before industrialized civilization? It's meat and vegetables. That's what you're supposed to eat. You're supposed to eat just like meat and you know, lettuce and shit that you would eat if you were just a caveman.
Yeah, but then we learned how to get more stuff.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to like eat grains. And that's all like filling. It's all a weird thing for your body to process. Like, you shouldn't be able to eat that much grain.
We couldn't eat meat.
But think about how ridiculous it is that you take bread, you grind it down, turn it into powder, mix it with eggs and water, all that shit, and make this crazy big doughy thing that fills your stomach up with goo.
Oh, it sounds like cardboard when you say it like that. That sounds like cardboard.
Well, it's
filler.
Yummy. It's yummy goo, but it's goo. You know, you mash it down so it's like paste. It's basically your mouth and your saliva and your teeth are doing the job for you, but with a flavor is the same as if you had shot paste in your mouth, you know, bread paste.
Yeah.
You know, so the part of the flavor is in the making of the paste. I mean, when you think about it, that's what it is. And it's going down into your stomach. It's dough.
It's just filling.
It's just filling.
But don't you get nutrients from it?
You get a little bit. There's a little something. You know, there's whole wheat bread is much better than white bread, and that's why they enrich like Wonder Bread. They throw a bunch of vitamins in it while they're cooking it, which probably doesn't do jack shit.
I thought quinoa is protein.
Yes, quinoa is. Yeah, quinoa is a grain. It's protein. Quinoa you might be able to get away with on the paleo diet. I'm not sure, but I know you can't get away with rice or pasta, rather. I know you can't get away with pasta. I think you're supposed to be just eating, you know, if you're going to eat rice, it's got to be like wild rice.
Really?
Like it's got fiber to
it. No way pasta. No way pasta.
No way pasta. Pasta is completely out.
But rice is out?
Yeah. I think bread's completely out. I think you're supposed to be just eating meat and chicken and fish and eating vegetables and salads. And that's what your body really is designed to handle. When you know, you look at like the size of people, their body mass index, and how it's gone up and up and up with the introduction of or the expansion of grains and corn, and you know, when you look at the human diet as it's evolved, and we figured out a way to make cities, and then once they stockpiled food, and you know, grains are very important for cities, you know, for keeping people hungry and fed or fed rather. So like once they figured that out, man, like. That like became a big part of the human diet, and the more they added grains like corn and you know the more corn, the more like it's just like we do with cows. When you take a cow and you feed them like a grass-fed diet, they're lean. They're like lean cows, and they're delicious. It's like a completely different flavor. It's like a richer flavor.
Grains, I don't get it.
When you feed them corn, then they get all fat, and they have a lot of what they call marbling, which is really just the animal being really unhealthy.
Unable to process stuff.
Yeah, it can't process the corn. There's a reason why corn comes out of your poop, man.
Oh, my God. That's what it is. Your body's like, I don't know how to deal with
your body is not. No, it's a rough product.
Rick has diabetes.
Wow.
Type 1 diabetes.
What does that mean?
Childhood diabetes.
Oh, yeah?
He got it when he was 23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like real late. But it was just like a situation where something that processes the proteins, the carbohydrates, I mean, stopped working. So his body was just throwing up. He was unable to fucking process it. And that's what our body does. Like, it does its best.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh, the rest.
Yeah, so it's just not, it's not designed for it. You know, the appendix is a leftover organ back from when our diet was different. And I think, like, for heavier plants and things like along those lines, your body required, like, an extra organ. At one time, I thought it was, we're on a plane, folks, or I would totally Google this. But at one time, I think they attributed it to, or I mistakenly thought it was attributed to eating raw meat, but I don't think that's true now.
What was?
You needed an extra organ. That's what the appendix was. It was to help process the raw meat. But I don't think that's, I think that's been disproved.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure, though. Look that, please Google that on your own. But obviously, our diet changed, and we no longer needed our appendix. And then it became some weird organ that occasionally blows up inside of you, and then you got to go to the hospital and get cut open, you know.
The weirdest thing is, appendix, like 200 years ago, they would have no idea what that was. You would just suddenly be in pain, and then you would just die.
Yeah. Yeah, you would just get cursed.
In pain for 2 days.
Cursed by a demon.
Yeah.
And then they figured, I don't know, maybe 200 years ago they had figured it out. But somewhere along the line, they figured out what was happening. And whether or not you would get a good doctor that would diagnose it, or one that would try to cure you of being possessed by demons, you know? Who the hell knows? You had to roll the dice back then.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing, like, when Darwin first came out with his book?
Yeah, people demonized him.
Yeah, the science community was so Christian that anything other than that ideology was thought to be preposterous. Like, the science community was Christian at the time.
Like, but the given is that God created the world in 7 days, and then from there we can discuss, you know.
Right.
What happens to oak trees in the summer?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like they're trying to find a way for it to fit. That's the rub. It's always trying to find a way that it fits. It's like, there's no one's willing to just go, this doesn't make any sense anymore.
It does, yeah. I think we're living in a way better time now.
Because of the internet.
Yeah. It's really accelerating things at a massive rate.
Yeah. Well, young kids,
you can find the people who think alike.
Yeah.
You can't get like into a sense of like, oh, I'm the only person like this.
Yeah.
So I'll just suck it up.
Yeah.
Fine. Even no matter where you are, you can be like, oh, I can find the thing that I look like, you know, that my aesthetic goes towards.
Yeah. Young kids have a way better path.
Yeah.
Out of you know, what they think, you know, like they think that they have limitations. You know, like this is their limitations. The town they live in, they don't get access to information. How am I going to get out of here? How am I going to grow? But through the internet,
My friend Justin was talking about like-minded friends. Imagine coming out of the closet if you're in a town of like 80.
Oh my God.
Like,
it's brutal.
There's two guys in hiding. That's all. That's the only.
My next door neighbor growing up was gay. We all knew he was gay, but he didn't come out. He didn't come out for like, I guess it came out in high school, sort of.
Really?
Yeah, to a few people came out in high school, I think. I don't really remember now. I probably shouldn't talk about him. But I remember thinking, like, poor guy. Like, why can't you just come out?
Yeah, me too. I've been like the same situation. I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
Like, you clearly are. Everyone who meets you thinks you are.
Yeah.
Everyone who meets you thinks you are.
Yeah, and then after a while, he started having boyfriends, and he'd bring his boyfriends around, and it was all good. Everybody accepted him. It's
fine. Yeah, go for it, man.
They just had to, like, see it and then get used to the new reality.
It's funny to introduce homosexuality to your meathead friends. It's like it's just a cat to a dog. You have to let him sniff through the fence for a little while. Then you take him to a screen. Then you hold him in a leash.
Can you imagine if you had a bunch of meathead friends and you had to come out of the closet and tell them that you're gay? Like, what if you like you like sucking dick, but you're really into football and you're good at it?
Yeah.
And you know, you and Troy Aikman develop a very close friendship.
Like,
that you
God,
think
it's only increased your benefits of being friends with me.
I can't believe that I'd be willing to tell you this, Troy. But this is how much I love you and honor our friendship. I wouldn't want to hold this from you.
Close your eyes and stay right there. And I want to give you a surprise.
He's stroking his shaft. Okay, open him. I've always been gay for you. He's like, you're taking a chance right there.
Yeah,
you get get an extreme reaction.
Troy Aikman's either going to be totally into it or totally against it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a subtle way of breaking it down.
It's hard to pull off.
Not to mention he might not be his type.
Let me ask you this. What do you think the John Travolta thing is? Do you think
I believe in my friend's idea. When those rumors come out, it's because they're always based on truth. That's why they have legs. The rumors that don't have any legs go away almost instantly. The ones that stick around is because they have legs and they're based in truth. They naturally stay around. Kurt Metzger pointed that out. Because the durable things, like, that's the same one. It sticks around.
Yeah, but I think the durable thing is a rumor that might have been pushed on him by like Scientology.
I think he was released by Scientology.
Members. Released?
Yeah, they had that on him.
Yeah, they released it.
And they said, oh, you're going to go Buddhist? We tell you not to. We're warning you not to.
Really?
Now you're going, we're making an example of you. We're releasing this.
Why would they just release it as a rumor? Because they didn't have any proof. Like, when you say that they released it, there's no
proof.
They
just let it out.
Do you think it's real?
They had their ways, bro.
Why would you assume
it's
real?
They were powerful back then.
They still are. But why would you assume it's real, though? Why wouldn't you just assume that it was a rumor that they made up? That'd be just as... Well, I mean, back then, when I was a kid, it was like...
It was
1980s. It was like, that's when everybody knew that he had done this. Like,
everyone knew.
Yeah. Okay, you grew up in Maryland.
Yes.
I grew up in Boston. Eddie grew up in L.A. We all heard the story as kids.
I mean, how does it get around unless it's true?
No. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Let's get him.
The real statement is, just because it got around doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
Yes, definitely.
You're right.
Dude, that doesn't make sense.
I think it's one of those persistent rumors.
Oh, man, a guy had a gerbil up his ass. Get the fuck out of here.
You might be right.
Why did he have a gerbil up his ass? You can get a gerbil in your ass, can't get a finger to go and retrieve it. You can't relax and dig in your ass and go get a finger and pull that gerbil out. You can't get a pair of tweezers and go pull that gerbil out. Get out of here. How deep is your butt? Like, how deep is your butt? And how big is this gerbil? What's going on here? That should be the title of my book. How deep is your butt and where is this gerbil? How deep is your butt is like a good... If a porno film about
butt.
The Bee Gees.
Yeah. It's trying to be serious. How deep is your butt? It's one of those long form...
It's like that Bee Gees song. How deep is your love?
Yeah.
Say it. How deep is your butt?
How'd that one go?
That would be like a good...
How'd that go?
That would be like a good morning show bit. You know, one of those wacky morning shows? A song parody? Instead of how deep is your love, how deep is your butt? How deep is your butt? Is your butt? How deep is your butt?
What was that song about? How madly you fall in love?
How deep is your love?
Yeah.
It was a Bee Gees song. It was a beautiful song.
What was it about?
How could that us be? We belong to you and me. I don't know. It's a bunch of emotional shit. You know, what is it about, really? It's a bunch of lies all strung together trying to get me to dance with emotion.
Yeah.
And effectively, I feel like an ape.
Makes 16-year-olds feel.
Yeah. Makes me feel like an ape.
Have you seen that, that video, that Breonna video?
No. What is it?
The kid who's like doing a loves, telling his dear Breonna that he loves her so deeply. Breonna is his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
In high school. He's some 16-year-old who looks like Justin Timberlake.
Oh, no. Poor kid.
Yeah.
And he made a video?
And you just see his heart getting just shattered in like 3 to 6 years. He's like, I love you more than all the sands and all the oceans.
Oh, you poor kid.
The universe.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I love you more than that, and I'll see you tomorrow. Yes, I will.
Poor son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Poor son of a bitch. Oh, you poor son of a bitch.
It was so creepy, but so like, oh, fuck.
Fuck, poor kid.
Yeah, I'm like, there's in store for so much pain.
Poor kid. God damn it.
He's getting millions of hits. He loves it. Like, you can all see my love for her.
Oh, God. Poor son of a bitch. Aren't you glad it wasn't something like that around when you were 16?
I would have definitely used it.
I would have definitely used it.
I would have done
the grossest video of all time that would be embarrassed to this day. I wrote a letter trying to get my girlfriend back when I was 21 that to this day I just cringe thinking about what a weak bitch I was to have written that. I couldn't believe that I was capable of just being so sad and pathetic. She didn't want to have nothing to do with me. And then she immediately became unattractive to me. She's like, no. I mean, she was madly attracted to me when we first met. But by the time she had done me, I had fucked up so bad. She didn't want to have nothing to do with me.
I've done that too.
It's hilarious. Oh, it's so pathetic.
So ridiculous.
It feels so gross.
Like, I can get her back.
It feels gross. Gross. And I didn't want her back, man.
Just so
I was
regretful.
Sad about the whole thing. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. It's just what had happened is like you lose and then you try to get it back. It's like you're like, what did I lose here? I lost you. I want to get you back. And like you don't even know what you're doing. You're just acting on instinct. Your instinct is to try to reconnect.
Can you do a bit about that?
Not really.
You should. You should. I've gone through that. I'm like crying with laughter right now.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah. We've all done that.
Yeah.
We're all so embarrassed about it.
Yep. Oh my God.
We're all so embarrassed about
it. Horrendous.
It's like our darkest secret.
I wrote to her to express my love and my conviction to be with her to the end. And
I wrote poetry.
Oh God. I don't even want to be honest about what I wrote because I'm hoping I don't remember it right. I'm hoping that I wasn't that much of a fucking loser. I'm like hoping that my disgusting and embarrassing memory is real distorted because I'm hard on myself.
You were.
But it's probably like worse.
You were a loser.
Oh, way worse than a loser. I was a pathetic loser.
Simone says those girls, he always imagines those girls getting his letter like that and then getting railed from behind by this other guy as they're reading it.
Oh,
what are you reading, honey? Nothing. Some loser.
That's hilarious. Oh, that's so true.
And just you coming in and saying that and having your heart broken.
Yeah, that was a dark time for me. That was my transition from fighting to comedy. That was my first open mic year.
Yeah.
When I lived with this girl. I was an idiot. I was completely lost. I didn't know what I was doing.
It's so ridiculous.
I was so weak.
How heartbroken were you?
Oh, not that bad, really. I got over it really quick. But it was, at the time, it was just, I was really weak.
I was really weak
and immature. I was just pathetic. And I was, you know, I hadn't learned everything I needed to learn about myself from competing.
Yeah.
And I'd already kind of abandoned that and moved into stand-up comedy as like my number one thing to think about during the day and thing to focus my energy on. And I just wasn't that good at it yet. I wasn't doing well. I was, like, super insecure.
Yeah.
And so when a chick, like, that dumps you right when you're already, like,
inwards.
Super insecure.
You're like, I don't want to look inwards.
You're like, fuck, I am struggling here. Like, this is hard.
I'm barely holding on, lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Come
and then,
on.
But women sense weakness like that. They don't want to hear that shit. And it's they're right, you know?
Yeah.
They sense that you're being a weak bitch. And they're correct. You're being a weak bitch.
Like,
why would you want to fuck
you? Drive me to be this weak bitch?
You need to learn from those experiences. Yeah. We don't want to have them, but we need them so that we know what to never do again. Look, if you didn't get taught by your dad how to behave in every situation and explain thoroughly, then you're going to wing that shit. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
Especially growing up.
I went after Bill Burr yesterday, and he came in, he popped in, but he only does like 10-15 minutes when he does it, and they were like, it was like right when I was ready to go on, and then he went on, and I was like, oh, all
right,
I'm going to have to sound really natural here. you know, otherwise it's going to sound really good try, but it's like, it's all right, that's good for you. It gets you back to that moment of like just really talking.
Right.
It's like you got to learn from these things and move, like any sort of bump anywhere.
Yeah.
Will get you to like a better place.
So he went in and bumped you, is that what happened?
Yeah, well, he had called in for a time, but for pop-in. He doesn't like to write him in for a spot.
Right, so he came in, and so you just had to, like, adjust, like, you were going to go on stage, you get all ramped up, and then you had to cool down.
Yeah, Tommy just hadn't seen me, that's all. He's like, oh, I didn't see, it was whatever, the light was on, so it's like, you know how you get your adrenaline just a little ready?
Right.
And all of a sudden, it was, like, relieved, and then I was like, oh, and also, you got to follow somebody who's, like, a little bit, you know, you got to get your P's and Q's dotted.
Right.
A little bit, you know?
Right, when someone
does
well.
You got to be ready to go on.
Yeah,
you
know? For sure.
In some sense, it's fine. But yeah. Sometimes you got to be really, really ready, or you're going to go down.
Yeah, you can go down, especially if the crowd's not your crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the battle
nobody
shows.
Nobody knows me, you know?
Yeah. Battle shows are legit, man.
Yeah.
Do you advertise when you're going to be at the store?
Sometimes.
On your Twitter?
Sometimes, if I remember, I'll retweet them.
Sometimes you don't want to, or you just want to fuck around?
I don't mind if people know. No, I don't mind if people know.
You should totally do it, man. I bet a lot of people would just come just to see you.
Yeah. They want to know what I am. I put it on my website. It's updated to my widget on my website, so when I'm there like that week, it
says
right there with
arithegreat.com.
Arithegreat.com.
Is there an arishafir.com already taken?
No, I have that too.
You should have them linked to each other.
Yeah, they're the same place.
Oh, okay, so if someone goes to arishafir.com, it goes to arithegreat.com.
Yeah, I've never been able to decide which one I feel less douchey about.
I like Ari the Great. I thought it's cute.
Thanks. I go for cute. I hope people know I'm not like serious.
Yeah, like they're not. A lot of them aren't going to.
Yeah.
They're going to, you know. You can't pretend you're good at anything.
He named himself Ari the Great.
Yeah.
That guy's an asshole.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
You can't name yourself anything, right? You're not, like, the rules of douche conduct. Whenever you give yourself a nickname.
Yeah.
Hey, the machine that never fails.
Yeah.
You know, dude, stop calling yourself the machine.
Yeah.
Especially it's names like the machine. And I feel bad because there's a lot of fighters that I really like. And they call themselves machine.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
It's only one machine. It's like, Kreischer.
I was like, come on, silly. All of you, you're
all
silly.
Second best.
And Kreischer's nickname is legit. Like, they gave it to him.
Dude, it was amazing. I brought him up at one of those Ice House shows. And I was like, nice guys. And I gave one of his credits. And they all started, like 20% of them started going, the machine. So it was like this hum in the room of machine chants.
Yeah.
It was like, cool.
Yeah, they love that, dude. He's a great guy. He's so weird. He's such a fun, weird guy.
Uh-huh.
I love Bert. And I like that he's like, you know, he's a pretty genuine dude. He tries to, you know, he explores his thoughts. When he talks to you about stuff, you can tell, like, he's a wild man, but he's thinking about shit, you know?
Yeah.
He's a fun dude.
He was talking to me the other day about not wanting to, like, making sure, like, really sure he doesn't ever seem too good for anybody. So he's going out of his way to, like, look people in the eye, like, behind the counters, or, like...
Yeah, he said he was having an ego problem.
Yeah.
So he said on my podcast, but we never really completely elaborated on it. I don't know if... I guess if he wanted to, he would have talked about it. But I think basically what he was saying was that he just was taking himself a little too seriously lately or something.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like it.
He
caught himself.
More seriously than before.
Yeah, he caught himself, like, you know, giving out his credits or something to somebody. Like, caught himself, like, telling somebody what he was doing
and
or something.
Noticing what that behavior was.
Yeah.
Seen in other people.
Yeah, noticing that he was, like, trying to impress someone. It wasn't, like, a real conversation. You know?
You thought, ooh, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all know that feeling. You know, the feeling of wanting to say something impressive about ourselves. But it's almost, that never works.
Yeah.
It's, like, the grossest thing of all time.
I saw some young comic I know does that a lot, and I almost want to be like, dude, we'll find out.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep telling people. Everyone discounts it that way. We'll find out when it's time.
Yeah.
I know you want to fit in. It's fine.
Yeah.
But you do. Just, we'll find out the stuff when it's happening.
Yeah, it's like, let it unfold. Have a natural conversation. Let somebody ask you.
Yeah. We'll take you seriously because you're speaking well.
There's a comic that will remain nameless. And the last time I saw him, it was so brutal that every time I see him, from now on, I'm gonna avoid him.
What, the name dropping, the credit dropping?
Oh, it was brutality. It was, hey, what's up, man? Is the way I like to, like, when I see a comic, if I'm in the airport and say, let's say Ruben Paul's there.
Yeah.
I see, like, Ruben Paul, or it's just as a random name, Mike Young, anybody.
Yeah.
I see a comic that's a friend of mine. I'm like, what's up? What's up?
Oh, yeah.
We shake hands, give a hug. It's like fellow, comrades.
Yeah,
comrades are out there fighting the good fight. Out there doing the stand-up.
I saw him next to Maz on a plane. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I sat next to Norm Macdonald twice.
Really?
Randomly.
Oh, yeah.
Twice. Two times on planes. It was awesome. The both could have been reality shows. They both could have been, like, the best reality show.
I still remember that Norm Macdonald. He was talking that whole time in the airport in Vancouver about how he's quit cigarettes.
Yep.
He feels awesome.
Yep.
It's an amazing feeling. It's like he's done with that, man, and you don't understand.
Yep.
As soon as he lands, we step out, and he goes, well, I'm going to go get a cigarette.
Yeah. I don't remember if we dosed him. Did we dose him on that plane?
I don't know.
I think
you probably did. You sat next to him in first class.
Yeah. I don't believe that. I don't remember.
You must have, right?
Probably not.
What?
Especially since it was someplace where I couldn't have had any.
Oh, right. That's a good point.
Illegal.
Yeah, that's a good point. No one ever would have had any there.
Some dude keeps farting. It's brutal.
Really?
Yeah, this is like the third one this motherfucker's unleashed on us.
It's fish oil.
It's so rude. Farting on a plane is the rudest shit of all time. But we've all done it.
Yeah.
So there it is.
And you're like, oh, I would never do that. But you're like, what am I going to do? Get
life.
Off and go to the bathroom.
It is life, ladies and gentlemen.
To cut so,
at least it's not Tate, man. Tate was ruthless.
God.
You don't understand, ladies and gentlemen. When we talk to you about the smell that used to come out of Tate's ass,
it wasn't like, oh,
it's not real.
Like, oh my God. Ow,
I'm not being real with you. It couldn't possibly have really happened the way I remember it happening. Because if that was the case, he's dying. If that was the case, he was a toxic waste dump.
I imagine it from above, in La Jolla.
It was insane.
But I imagine people spreading, like, you know when you take a droplet of oil and drop it into water, and the water just sort of separates out? The people just in that area that the cloud was just moved away from it.
I've cut some ruthless farts in my day. Ruthless farts, but nothing.
Fletcher.
I didn't even know what was possible. I didn't know. He's the Kobayashi of farts. If there was a fart contest, nobody's going to fuck with Tate Fletcher.
Yeah.
Especially if he's been lifting a lot. He's on a lot of protein powder. God damn, dude.
Yeah.
The Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Yeah. Just,
remember that?
Just
I could just tell you
away.
That name.
Yeah.
Comedy Store La Jolla. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If you say it, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Like a grenade.
His fart was so bad, folks. It has become legend that we talk about for years. This Comedy Store in La Jolla incident, nothing. Just 2006.
The common area, the waiting room in La Jolla, it's just this like area where everyone sort of hangs out. The show fills up. There's a bar there.
And Tate opened up the gates of hell.
It was packed.
It was so bad that no one tried to be polite about it. A woman just screamed.
The noise she
screamed
made.
Screamed out, oh, God. It was just like Tate was shitting in her mouth.
Like she was witnessing a mini Holocaust.
The only thing that's even close was one time Joey farted next to me in first class. And I was writing a thing about antidepressants and happy pills.
Yeah.
And Joey, I saw him lean, and before I realized it was too late, you know, when Joey like leans to the side to like open up a butt cheek, like that's when
I
didn't realize what he was doing. They're like, no, you did not. And this woman behind me just screams, oh my God. It was so loud. I am like next to Joey with my t-shirt over my nose. I'm like tucked with my face under my shirt to try to protect me from the smell. And the woman just goes, oh my God. And it was an assault, man. It was an assault.
I will
tell
you
this. It was so bad. It was so bad. It didn't even smell like a fart. It smelled like shit.
You must be hurt and embarrassed at the same time. Like, oh no.
He shit in your nose. That's what it smelled like. It smelled like
I will say this about Tate's farts. I will say that once every year or so, in the wall of the Comedy Store, in that walkway behind the OR, a rat will die in the wall and rot. And the smell there will be of rotting flesh. The maggots eating away rotting flesh. And it smells so despicable.
Oh.
Tate's farts are worse than that. Just to put it in some form of context. The revulsion you get is worse.
Oh, he could unleash the gates of hell, man. It was really crazy. It was like, it didn't even make sense.
And
it was like, how can you do that?
Protein shakes, bro.
It's like when you see Michael Jordan jump.
Yeah.
It's like, how can he jump like that? I can't jump like that.
In the air, the
how can he jump
long.
Like that? It's like, that's what's like Tate's farts are like.
Shot at his peaks.
Tate farts. They're these the Michael Jordan of farts. If there was fart contest, I'd put him up against anybody in the world. If anybody wanted to get crazy, if someone from another country, some Yugoslavian guy wants to get crazy, yeah. Says he has the worst farts of all time.
Yeah, you put Tate.
Yeah, oh, fuck yeah, I'd put Tate
like,
in the box.
I'd like to nominate for the representative of the 12th district.
I have to talk to Tate and see what his diet's been like. You know, it might be that whey protein stuff. You know, by the way, that doesn't
happen.
He's not
doing any grains. He's doing that thing.
Oh, paleo, huh?
Yeah.
But whey protein is cows. That's whey is actually cow.
Oh, then he's okay with it.
It's like, it's protein from milk.
Then he's okay with it. He said if you have to do anything, rice, but that's the only one that's allowed.
Yeah, I know. That gives people gas, apparently, whey protein sometimes. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I like it.
You drink it?
Yeah, I love whey protein. I like hemp protein, too. Hemp protein seems to be easier for my body to digest. I never have any gas issues. It goes down really quickly. So it's a very complete protein, too. Very good for you. No, thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's totally like some water.
Powerful, Shafir.
Are you kidding me? Thank you.
Our
my mouth is so
flight attendant is a comedian herself.
Yeah.
She tells us that she's quite dirty.
But she's not allowed to be dirty on air.
She's laughing.
In the WestJet flights.
That's not... I didn't say anything wrong. She said easy tigers. I feel like she's...
Make me laugh before.
She's funny.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm heckling her.
Yeah.
Well, heckling while she works.
Yeah, that's probably the worst thing. Like,
I don't mean
sorry.
To be disrespectful. She's very nice.
Sorry, my fault.
So we're on our way to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, to this crazy place called the River Cree Casino. And the last time we were here, I had to yell at some girl for like 20 minutes. Some crazy broad. There's a video of it online. Yeah, pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, she went right up to the front.
Yeah, she was nuts.
Wow. And you were just like, what are you doing?
She was nuts.
It's sort of fun only when it's the moments where everyone is very clearly all against this one person.
Yeah.
And we can just let me handle it and talk to her.
Well, it became fun.
Yeah.
You know.
That's when it's okay.
Yeah, well, as long as you can turn it into comedy, just, you gotta, that same situation, not managed correctly, could fuck the whole show up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And not everybody has an act that lends itself to ad-libbing. You and I are both fortunate that our acts,
talk like ourselves. So we go out and talk like ourselves in other contexts.
We can address anything. We can address, what are you doing? Why are you yelling? We can address people. We can, but some people are in character, you know? Like, if you're doing, like, an Emo Phillips thing, and you have to break character to tell a guy, hey, man, stop fucking yelling shit. You know, like, you're annoying, and then you gotta, like, re-get back into the
group. Yeah, I
finally
realized I can just say, oh, to get back to what I was talking about, and then you're back in.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They want to hear it.
Really talking to you guys.
Yeah, but they paid to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it was really interesting talking to Bobcat Goldthwait. Mm-hmm. He was on the podcast this week, and Bobcat was talking about how he had to eventually drop the act, the Bobcat act, the screaming, And he, like, goes into it a little bit while we're on the podcast, like, as a joke.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of goes into
it. But he had to drop it.
But he dropped it in performing, and he said it actually, like, probably hurt his ticket sales.
I bet it was artistically confusing after a while.
I think for him, it was just, like, after a while, he was trapped.
Yeah.
He didn't want to feel trapped, you know. And he's a really funny guy on his own. And it's just one of those things where, you know, like, if a guy can be funny in a character, that guy can be funny on his own. That guy's just funny.
He's only writing for this thing.
Yeah, he's funny, period. And Bobcat clearly is funny. So it's like he just had to take that chance and then make that leap. But once he did, you know, I'm sure he's much happier.
I was talking to my friend Mike Storrs, comedian in Maryland, about he's like, we're talking about writing new material.
Right.
And he goes, but, you know, I do this old stuff, I keep coming up with new tags for it.
Right.
And my theory is, yeah, that's true. But if you had new stuff, you would place that creative energy on doing the new stuff. So the same way, if you have a character and you're placing all your creative energy on that, if you just stop doing it, your creative energy comes out just in a different manifestation.
Right.
You know, on the new, your own act.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny. He did my storyteller show twice. He was funny both times. Bobcat.
Bobcat's funny, man.
Yeah.
He was really good on the podcast. He's got a surprising amount of, like, pent-up rage.
He does.
Anger at, like, bullies and assholes. And you know, that's, like, a lot of what his new movie about it.
Oh, really?
It's about God Bless America. Yeah, it's about a guy finds out he has terminal brain cancer and just goes on a killing spree and brings some, young girl with him, and they just kill only assholes.
I downloaded World's Greatest Dad because I heard he directed it.
Yeah, was it?
I thought it was Robin Williams. I was like, there's no way I'm going to enjoy this. But then I found out he directed it. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll see if it's any good. I didn't watch it yet.
Heard it. It's pretty good. I've heard from a lot of people it's really good. And he actually said that's probably his strongest movie.
Really?
Yeah, he said it's stronger. He's really honest, man. I really enjoyed talking to him. It seemed like he had like some wild moments when he was younger. Did a lot of shit, like the Tonight Show stage on fire, yeah. And you know, did a lot
and
of crazy things.
I was like, yeah, you were 26.
Things. Yeah, but he's
like, whatever, who cares?
He's a good dude, man. I really enjoyed having a conversation with him, and it was really cool hearing that he listened to the podcast. He's like, yeah, I listen. Like, well, I was trying to explain to him the commercials and everything like that. He's like, yeah, no, I listen. I was like, wow, Bobcat listens to the podcast. Just like, to me, that's just like, it was just, I don't know, it was like a geek out moment. I was trying not to be a dork, but I wanted to say
that. Police Academy.
Well, I didn't love Police Academy. I loved his stand-up. I loved Meet Bob. That was like one of his first CDs that I bought.
Really?
I'd seen him on HBO, and he used to do the comic relief specials, and he's a funny motherfucker, man. He was a really good stand-up, and he was a Boston guy.
Oh, really?
And Boston is always, we all, no, he was before me. I didn't know him. But Boston is always like, you're loyal to like other Boston comedians. And
well,
that
looks like a Scottish Terrier.
What's that?
That cloud looks like a Scottish Terrier.
Oh my God, you're tripping, kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like when we were living in Boston, like everybody was like super proud that all these great comics had come out of Boston.
There.
You know?
The scene is ravaged now.
It's dead. Well, not totally dead. I'm sure there's that Chinatown thing, or excuse me, that Cambridge Chinese restaurant.
Run. I think it was ebbs and flows, and every scene like perks up and goes away. Another one comes out. And
they need a club.
Comes up.
If like someone like, you know, this is what would jolt Boston back into life. If someone like Wendy from Denver, if Wendy decided to go open up a Comedy Works in Boston.
Boom. Yeah, there needs to be a club there.
Yeah, a chick like her, if she could do it and still keep her brain together, I think it's hard for her to run two clubs in Denver.
Yeah. I know I have a lot of fans there, but it's like there's no there's no size that we can like sort of get you into now.
Yeah,
it's an in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boston is a weird place. It used to be the greatest comedy community in the world.
I just remember seeing a guy smiling walking down the street. I was there with you one time at the Wilbur. Walking down the street smiling Saturday night, just bloody, just dripping blood from his face, and just like. It's like they were, oh, yeah, let's go get pizza now. Like, it was just, like, totally, Saturday, whatever.
Yeah, happy that they got in a fight. Human dogs.
Just animals.
It's a crazy place to grow up.
It's weird how if you see someone like Bobcat or whatever, you, like, once you see them as any sort of celebrity, you put them in a place in your head as they do something. Like, they're the guy who lights the Tonight Show stage on fire. Or they're the guy.
Right.
And you're like, well, that's who they are. But then you're like, you realize as a human, it's like, you're just someone who's, you know, 26, and then at some point you're like 46.
Yeah.
And that's totally not you anymore.
Yeah.
But you're stuck with like all these things are my I don't know, my body of work.
Especially today with, you know, recordings of it.
Yeah.
If you're a guy like Bobcat and you did all
there's
this
no room
on
for
television, I mean, it's hard. People are just gonna label you, they're gonna stick you in that little box. You are the guy who performed those things X amount of years ago. Well, you're barely the guy you were yesterday.
I feel bad for those people who get stuck doing a routine or doing stuff like an act, because now it's like, now you got success in it. Now you can't really just start over because you have success with this thing. It's way harder to like do what you want when you're getting paid. I talked to Dat Fan once, and he has filthy thoughts. But he can't express any of those on stage. He's like, I have a family audience.
That's terrible.
I cannot talk about those things.
That's terrible.
You know?
That's a trap.
It's like they don't want to hear it. Like people can, so then he's forced it not. So he's like, you're holding back a part of yourself.
Yeah, but there's some guys that do it because they like to do it that way. You know, they're just fun. Like Brian Regan.
Yeah.
Brian Regan is family friendly, but that's just his act. That's just how he does it.
You never notice.
He's not
that.
Like compromising at all. Gaffigan is another one. Not compromising at all. There's a bona fide 100% badass comedian.
Yeah.
You know, they just stuff is clean.
Also, that's the level of things they find funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's good stuff, man. Gaffigan's really funny, man. He was he was great on the podcast. He's really like witty and off the cuff and very smart. Really funny guy, man. I enjoyed that. It's like, he's not a dick at all. He's like,
you think 100%. The podcast make you a fan of more people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, getting to know more people, too, and getting to know him in a way that you can't escape. And, you know, like little weird things that people do comes out. You know, you see it. Like, not everybody holds up to pressure that well. A lot of guys you get on the podcast, and they, somewhere along the line, that douche comes out of them, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
It's kind of obvious. And they're like, they lose fans because of it sometimes.
Because the douche comes out of them?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they people, like, people get mad at them.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough, you know, doing something where you're exposing yourself, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, you have to become like, well, this is what it says. Yeah, it sort of rewards honesty.
Yeah.
So it's just like, just talk. It's fine.
Yeah.
Who cares? Everyone likes it if you're just cool. They forgive you if you're talking about bad things you've done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like confessional. It's fine. Priest is going to let it go.
Yeah.
But like, booking my that storyteller show, I've become like a fan of more comics. Just when I'm like, oh, do you have one? And you see them like something really good. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a funny guy.
There's a lot of good comics out there.
There's a bunch of funny comedians.
This is a good time for comedy,
man. A lot of them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I used to fight. I used to want to be like, I'm the best one. But then it's like, no. We're all just really fun, and we're all together. We're all just trying to make fun jokes.
Yeah, you can't. That best is a trap, man.
Yeah.
You got to be the best that you can be and do the best work that you can do and always try to have good shows and everything like that.
Yeah,
but
it's like, hey, I like the way you came with that joke. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's my act and my whole attitude towards comedy became immeasurably better when I got to choose who I could take on the road with me. And I only brought really funny people and my friends. Yeah. Just people who just killed. And all our shows are fun shows.
Yeah.
You know, when was the last time we ever had a bad show?
Yeah, just have a good time.
Yeah, we've had like midnight shows in Vegas where people were too drunk, but those shows are just gross.
They know each other, so it becomes like a sort of, they feel it's like a together show.
Not yeah.
It's like good level, but like together level chemistry.
Exactly.
Of like the introductions.
Yeah, exactly.
Become like a fun part, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to, there's no weirdness, man. One of the weirdest things ever is when you share the stage with some guy and you don't particularly like his act, and you don't really want to hang out with him, but you're just working together for the weekend, and that's
it works
fun.
Both ways.
Yeah, or
people they used to work with at the Riv, people used to work with, there was like just no ones that were going nowhere. They've been around on the way down.
The weakest shit
road
is
acts.
When dudes bring bad acts with them on purpose,
just so they can follow it.
Yeah, just to make them look like heroes.
Yeah.
And we don't have to mention any names, but we both know dudes who do that.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. They just take super scrubs. Not just scrubs, but unmanageable scrubs.
Bad.
Like, you know, like trying to drain the river with a teacup scrubs. Like, this is never going to work.
Yeah, I get pleasantly surprised once in a while with, like, one of the two. Either feature or MC. We'll be like, oh, maybe that's not bad.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Well, hey, man, I met Tom Segura that way.
And I tried to say, oh, yeah, on that Real Men of Comedy tour,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, every week we had...
and somebody else, too.
Different places. Who else? Oh, Heffron, of course, obviously. But every week we had different...
somebody in Tempe or something.
Somebody in Tempe.
With, like, blonde hair.
Oh, Josh McDermott.
Josh McDermott,
Josh McDermott we actually met. He was doing a comedy competition there. He was doing, like, some sort of
there,
comedy
really?
Competition in Phoenix. That was different. That was different. That was another Joey Diaz extravaganza, where Joey vanished, so we brought in Josh McDermott to MC.
Kid, you're in.
Yeah, kid, you're in. That's exactly what happened.
I like that kid from yesterday. He was good. Tell him, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we did.
Yeah.
That was the dark years of Joey. But I love Joey so much that I started taking two people on the road with me just in case Joey flaked.
Just in case, yeah, you needed a parachute.
Yeah, so
Joey,
that's what I did.
You needed a ticket and a parachute.
Most people don't take two
that's
people
the
on the road.
That's why I going on the road with you. It's
because
Joey flaked so much.
Well,
thanks, guys.
Three people is fun, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mind doing three sometimes.
Three-person shows?
Yeah, like when we did Atlanta, three's cool. Chicago, three's cool. But sometimes it's cool to, like, let you ring it out and go up there and, you know, go long.
Yeah.
And then I'll go up there and go long, too, and just have fun.
Yeah, or it's like, it's okay, just let it go.
Yeah, it's two, you know, when it's two people, you can do, like, longer sets. And
the problem is the more you do longer sets, the more you get used to it. And then you want to do a little bit more.
Yep. And it's hard to, like, you're setting up the latest
stuff.
There's
a bunch of guys like Callan, is what I'm hearing. People like Callan, people like me, people like I don't know who else, but are happy to tell the club. Or I was like, no, I'm not doing 40. I'm going to do an hour.
Right.
So, like, you can't, like, I'm going to give the show. So, if I don't know, then drop your checks later or do whatever it is.
Yeah.
But just know that's going to be at least an hour. Like, the 40 is not enough.
The improvs are the ones that have a problem with that. Those trying to get you to end early. It's
I'm
the
like, I'll let you know right now. It won't be less than an hour.
I tell them always. Well, they're like, well, the show's going to run long. Well, guess what? Then the show's going to run long. These people keep paid money to see me. I'm not giving them a 40-minute show.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That seems so short. But, yeah, they're getting it now. They're like, okay, I guess so.
Yeah, well, once you have an audience, if you're one of those dudes that's brought in for the weekend, you know, and you could be interchangeable.
Hired gun.
Well, there's a lot of those guys. They're like the fill-in headliners that really they don't draw, and they'll do radio, but they won't do that well.
I bet 1 or 2 out of 100 of those guys are fucking awesome comics.
Maybe.
And they just make their living.
Maybe.
Just getting by doing the stuff they want to do because they make it funny enough.
Well, you know James Inman. He's really funny. And he doesn't really get booked that much.
Where's he from? I've heard of him before.
Portland? No, Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. I was just there. They mentioned him.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy in a weird way.
Really?
Yeah. He did some town hall meeting where he read this like long comedy diatribe.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
He's a wild dude. But he's one of those guys. It's like, I don't know how well he's doing on the road. You know, I don't know if he can sell out a weekend in a club.
Certain rooms, they'll just come be funny for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all we care about.
Yeah,
like there's so we'll places. But just come be funny for 40
especially
minutes.
The smaller club. Like Ice House is, a smaller
club.
Yeah,
they can do shows like that.
They get headliners that aren't, you know, they may not be big enough for a 600-seater like Phoenix, but they're good for that club.
They're really good, too. Like Capoeira on his way up was doing that.
Yeah.
And they're like, we know you'll do really well.
Right.
So we'll have you. He's another guy who's relatively clean, but not intentionally.
Yeah, it's just who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what your kind of comedy is, it's the kind of art form you're trying to craft. There ain't nothing wrong with that at all, man.
Yeah.
I always said that, like, I really admire Jerry Seinfeld, like, as a craftsman, as a stand-up comic, you know, but as a guy, a crafter of jokes. Like, I wouldn't do it that way. It's not my style, but I always admire, you know, what he did. I think he's got an amazing ability to craft a joke. It's just not my style.
Yeah. Where are you going to be? I started trying to say this somewhere in the middle.
What's that?
Where are you going to be coming up?
Where am I going to be?
Yeah.
My next gigs, I don't even have much booked.
Really?
Yeah, I've got something in Calgary. I'm doing
July
before the UFC. What are you doing that weekend?
That is Shroomfest week.
So you're going to have shows?
No.
You're just going to be shrooming out the whole week?
No, but I have to pick like one solid day to do it. I probably do it on the Monday.
Do you want to go to Calgary?
Maybe, yeah, that might be okay.
That's that place we went to where they had to bring people on stage.
Oh, yeah, that was that place?
Yeah, we already sold out one show, and the second show is almost sold out now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go to that.
Yeah, dude, that's going to be crazy. That's like,
yeah, I haven't been back to Calgary. That's one of those places. That's a long time ago. That was like 2 years ago.
It's going
to
be like 4,000 people.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, two shows.
Wow.
Awesome theater, too, man. Place is amazing. The first show sold out so quick.
Really?
Yeah.
They just went.
We went and put a second theater show in.
That's when I went to Edmonton last night. Yeah. Like, go to Calgary. What are you doing?
I wish I could bring Joey Diaz, man.
Yeah.
I wish I could get him into Canada. I'm thinking of dressing him up like Santa Claus. Just
stow him away with the cows and stuff in the back.
Just push him through. Ugh. Crazy.
With the animals.
You know, I mean, he did some shit a long time ago, but he's a good guy now.
It's so funny, though. People are like, stupid DUI laws. And you're like, oh, no, no. Oh, no, these are major felonies.
DUI.
No.
Get out of here. Unless DUI means kidnapping at machine gun point.
Okay, it's overblown. I needed to get his drug stash to steal. So I had to guide him from house to house with machine gun at him.
Joey Diaz was so crazy. He's the greatest. Such a fun guy to have around.
You
know, it's like the longest time. He was ostracized in the comedy world. I used to get shit about taking him on the road with me. Clubs didn't want him. One of my agents didn't like him, didn't think he was funny.
Didn't what?
Didn't think he was funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, if they want to see someone's not funny, they're just going to see it.
Well, they just didn't know what to do with them. They didn't know how to market them. The internet wasn't available back then. There was no internet. And there was an internet, but there was no internet in terms of like the use of it today to make someone famous. So there was no one ever envisioned anything like the podcast coming along where someone could really see the real Joey Diaz. If you always thought of like, how are you going to use this dirty guy? You're not going to be able to put his stand up on television because he doesn't have any clean jokes. Everything is about his muffler, his Cuban egg roll, his ball sack. He's like, it's everything is about like some disgusting body part and everything is hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's like none of it could be on TV. So they are all like, you're wasting your time. You know, why are you hanging out with this idiot? Why are you bringing this idiot on the road with you? Like, you know.
Yeah.
It was really frustrating. It was annoying.
I think I might be in Montreal that week.
Oh, no.
I got to see.
Do you have your calendar on you?
Yeah.
Do you really put your phone in that thing? That's like you're asking to forget that thing.
I'm not my best frame of mind.
No, you're not. I hear you.
July.
Do you know what week it is?
Oh, it would be... No, it would be right after that. Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, beautiful.
I might just have to go.
It's a podcast exclusive.
When are we going on Friday?
We're breaking the news. I'm going to do Rogan 100 News. Has that been taken?
Rogan 100 News?
I would totally rip Howard Stern off. Could you imagine how fucking mad he would be if I started doing Rogan 100 News? What a douche move that would be on my part. But this new studio space we move into, we're going to have a real professional setup. So if you ever have something that you want to do, like if you have a guest that's like a special guest, someone like really interesting, where you really want to sit down with them in a nice environment, you're welcome to use the studio space. I want to have it set up so it's remote controlled, high def cameras, all of it. I'm going to set it up the best way possible. So all of it is done the right way. I'm going to, you know, talk to like real professional video stream guys. I think I might even hire Justin from the Action Report to set it up for me.
Yeah, he set up the Action Report really well.
Yeah, he's a bad motherfucker. He knows what he's doing when it comes to video streaming. He does it on pay-per-view. So I might hire him, and I think he could use the shekels to come down and set up my system and put the whole thing running. And then I'm getting custom-made furniture put in. You know, have the whole place set up as cool looking and as comfortable as possible, completely soundproof, and really have it like what it could be. You know, it's like this thing obviously has a life of its own, and I'm obligated to take care of this, and I don't feel like I'm doing my best to take care of it if I keep doing these stupid little webcams and it's not evolving. The way it is in the Ice House shows me that, well, that's one level. We could take it to another level.
And
have it set up, have the studio set up so that it's whatever we really want. You know, we want a waiting room where people can sit, like friends of people on the show can sit and not interrupt.
You should get a green screen where people can use it if they want to go down there and film something crazy.
Absolutely. We got plenty of room for that.
People have ideas, but they're always like, the one thing that always held all of us back, at least at the store, was like, we don't have access to directors and people who know how to shoot those, like, real.
Well, you know what we could do?
But now everybody does.
We could have Joey Diaz in space. We could have Joey Diaz standing in front of a green screen, and then Joey Diaz gets, and this is the best part, we paint his balls and his dick green. So
ended up like an alligator,
it's green so that in the green screen, it doesn't show up. You see stars where his balls and his dick are, and it moves around.
Yeah, I like that. Swings.
Yeah. So it's sort of like a loophole. It's the absence of cock that makes you think about cock. And we could have a rant, so he could do a rant on the green screen, Joey Diaz in space. That's like cocksuckers, it's Joey Diaz in space.
See that black spot?
Yeah.
The space spot keeps swinging back and forth.
It's swinging back and forth. Come on, but there's plenty of room in that. Those photos that I showed you.
40-second rant, you could do that.
I could pull a screen down there easy, right?
Yeah. A big green screen.
Yeah.
They get someone to do it later.
That's what I should totally do. I should, you know, talk to Anthony Cumia, too, because Anthony does green screen behind him all the time.
It's upstairs.
Live at the compound.
Yeah. That stuff, you know, separately.
Also, I could set it up right on the wall, right there, that cement wall. Yeah. I could just paint that whole wall green.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah. I could paint that whole cement wall green.
That's a real cool, creative thing to do.
Yeah. And then while we're there, that's the window to the world. You know what I'll do? I'll frame it like a window and make it like space.
When are you going to release this?
As soon as possible.
All right, then I'll say some dates.
Yeah, say your dates.
I'm going to be at Cobb's in San Francisco, June 13th.
Dude, I think it's so awesome that you're headlining there.
Yeah,
that is
I'm
so
really
cool.
Excited.
That's like you've made it. That's
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's like you've made it, man. I mean, that's an A room. That's a real A room. What's the date?
It's June 13th. It's one night at Cobb's.
What day is that?
It's a Wednesday.
Well, let's make sure that you come on the podcast the day before, and let's blow that fucker out of the water. Let's make sure that Tuesday... What day is it again?
It's Wednesday, June 13th.
June 13th. This coming Wednesday?
No, no, no.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday after that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's make sure
that Wednesday, the gig is
on Wednesday. We should make sure that Tuesday we really blow it out.
All right.
Make sure we pack that place. That's huge, man. That's a nice club. That's a real
club. Yeah, I'm
really
excited about that. And San Francisco is one of those cool cities, like a known to be a cool city.
Well, it's the same thing with Joey. It's the same thing with you. It's like, it's hard when you're... not a clean comic. It's hard to get credits.
Yeah.
And if you don't get credits, it's hard to get booked.
This thing has just changed everything. I was with you in Vegas and started laughing about how ridiculous it all was now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, it's all just going better now. Just because of this thing where it didn't.
Yeah.
You don't have to go in the same system.
Our whole life has changed, man. Over in the last 2 years, we've gone from being, you know, touring and doing well and everything to being a part of like a wave. It's like some crazy like movement of cool people. Like fun movement of fun people, and everybody's growing from it. Everybody's growing. There's little conflicts, like the Brian Duncan thing, you know.
With those things now, sometimes I hear stuff now, and I'm like, oh yeah, but like this guy did this to me. It's like, okay, and you're like, at some point, like, dude, honestly, I just don't care either way. If you're right or wrong, I just don't care.
Neither guy's innocent, and you know, both of them really. Should sit down and figure out why they're so mad at each other.
You're just fighting. It's just no fun at all.
No, it's not necessary. Fun. And they're both good guys. I love them both, you know. It's a weird thing, man. It's weird having an employee,
by conflict
first of
after
all.
A while. Yeah, how is that, having an employee? It's
a pain in the ass, man. Nobody wants to be an employee. He doesn't, and he's my friend.
My
so
web
like,
girl, Jane, we were trying to get my stuff up online for the t-shirts to sell. And it took like forever, and we're just back and forth. And she was like, "Okay, I need to know this," and I'd take like 3 days to write back.
Right.
And then I'd write it back, and she'd take 4 days to write back to that. And she's like, "Dude, we're two stoners, just trying to get through it." And we did it. We got through it.
That's funny.
Yeah. Started selling grinders too.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
I just bought this titanium one. It's getting all on Amazon, man.
Really?
Everything's on Amazon now. I don't buy anything outside of Amazon.
Did you have the Keef Catcher and stuff?
You have to keep catching
it? The Keef Catcher thing?
Yeah, it's got the whole deal.
Wow.
Did you take that stuff out later?
I'm always torn on that.
I know.
Whether it's actually just making each joint a little weaker.
Plenty high enough.
Right.
I'm never worried about not being high enough. I'm never like, man.
Dude, when I smoke hash, though, I get high like the movies high.
I bet you do.
I feel like giggly and like, whoa. Episode over. That was really good. Thank you guys very much. And thank you to the Bee Gees for playing us out. The show, by the way, was awesome. 1,700 people there, sold out. There were probably 8 douchebags spread out, but with that many people and with Canadians drinking, there's almost no way to avoid that. But everybody else was amazing. It was such a fucking fun show. And the casino was cool. Meeting everybody after was cool. There's this deal that everybody has where they're worried about taking out a joint and smoking it. I will tell you this. Canada is super forgiving about weed. So you guys, from now on, if everyone's got pot and everybody wants to smoke it, just light it up. The RCMP was right there and they weren't going to do anything. At worst, they would have been like, guys, put that out. And then we would have just stepped out. No one's going to fucking make any, you know, big moves. We just would have put it out. I mean, if someone wanted to challenge a cop to a game of death, you know, that'd be fine. But I would just put it out. So thank you, everyone who fucking got me high. I appreciate it when we were there. And thank you to the one guy who gave me a boomer. That made the rest of the night very fun. And that's it, you guys. Every Monday, I come up with a new podcast. An Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank. Maybe I'll do one on Wednesday, because I should have done a different one today. I mean, it should have been Brenda Zisi in court. Maybe I'll just throw an extra one, since this isn't an official numbered Skeptic Tank. It's just a bonus episode. Yeah, that's what I'll do. So, there was something else I was going to say, but I never fucking... I'm not organized at all! God damn it, Ari. Get organized. Well, thank you, Joe Rogan, for taking me. I really appreciate it. Those shows are always fucking great, and they're getting better and better. And the crowds are just amazing. But this is all clearly buying time for me to remember what I was going to say, and I don't. So, end of the episode, everybody. That's it. If Shroomfest is coming up, you better get your mushrooms soon. They're hard to find if you don't know where to find them. I'll probably be celebrating in Calgary, and then on Monday, either in Montreal or somewhere in rural California. But you guys celebrate your own way. Enjoy them. I still can't remember what the fuck I was going to say. It's obvious, right? It's obvious. You can see me buying time. All right. I just pause this and I still can't remember. So that's it, you guys. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Bonus episode. Podcast from a plane. The co-production of the Joe Rogan Experience and Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Over and out. Okay. I remember what I was going to say. Here's what I was going to say. Please subscribe to these. If you like my podcast, I come up with a lot of really good ones and some okay ones and one or two really sucky ones. But generally, they're pretty good. So please, if you listen to on iTunes, subscribe. Just that way it'll come in next week and you won't have to remember, because if you're like me, you just forget to watch shows or listen to shows that you like. I watched the first season of Mad Men, and then I liked it, but I just stopped watching just because I forgot about it. So please subscribe. You can also find these on Stitcher and on my website, arithegreat.com, where you can find extra details for the for each episode. Every Monday, it'll help you start work. So since you guys all listen to these at work and nobody gets fuck all done, why not start wasting your work week with me? So please, subscribe. And tell a friend. If you like these, tell a friend. Get a thing going. I've got a forum going right now at arithegreat.com where we can discuss every single episode. Every single episode. I should just say every episode. And that is it. Please feel better soon to my friend who's in the hospital. My friend got into a car accident. And I wish her luck. She was looking at her. She stole my iPhone case. And this is sort of what happens when you steal people's iPhone cases. You get into horrible car accidents. That's called karma. All right, you guys. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, bonus episode for real, over and out. Goodbye. Thank you very much for tuning in.
That's it.
Before they indicate, we have started our final descent into the Edmonton area. Finally, this time, we do ask and require that your seat back and tray tables come into the full upright and most uncomfortable dog position. Also, your seat belts must remain fastened, and you must remain in your seats for the duration of the flight. All electronics, that's right, all your electronics must be powered down at this time. Anyone wearing a headband-type headset or the kind that hook behind your ears, you must remove those at this time. Anyone wearing an earbud-type headset, you can keep those in, provided they're plugged into our live satellite TV system only. Make sure any of those carry-on items you've had a chance to take out during the flight get properly restowed. Ladies, that does include your purses, and gentlemen, you know the drill. Also, folks, flight attendants will be coming through the cabin in just a few short seconds to collect any garbage or unwanted surface items, such as newspapers. If you could do us a huge favor and dig deep into those seat pockets in front of you, gather any garbage that may have found its way in there, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much, folks, and an early welcome into Edmonton.
Wow. That means you, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to shut this bitch down.
A lot of production on this one. For Robin on her birthday. Coming at
you. Come for me when you're on your knees. Keep me warm in your your butt, give your boobs a squeeze. And it's me you need to show.
What an amazing amount of production.
How deep is your butt?
Have you ever measured? Do you know how deep your butt is?
No.
Right.